Chapter 24. People of whom the well people ought to have been afraid. But then, on the other side, it was impossible to know them. And this is the reason why it is impossible in a visitation to prevent the spreading of the plague by the utmost human vigilance. Viz. That it is impossible to know the infected people from the sound, or that the infected people should perfectly know themselves. I knew a man who conversed freely in London all the season of the plague in 1665, and kept about a man antidote or cordial on purpose, to take when he thought himself in any danger, and he had such a rule to know, or have warning of the danger by as indeed I never met with before or since. How far it may be depended on I know not. He had a wound in his leg, and whenever he came among any people that were not sound, and the infection began to affect him, he said he could know it by that signal, viz. That his wound in his leg would smart, and look pale and white, so as soon as ever he felt it smart it was time for him to withdraw, or to take care of himself, taking his drink, which he always carried about him for that purpose. Now it seems he found his wound would smart many times, when he was in company with such who thought themselves to be sound, and who appeared so to one another. But he would presently rise up and say publicly, "Friends, here is somebody in the room that has the plague," and so would immediately break up the company. This was indeed a faithful monitor to all people, that the plague is not to be avoided by those that converse promiscuously in a town infected, and people have it, when they know it not, and that they likewise give it to others when they know, not that they have it themselves. And in this case shutting up the well, or removing the sick will not do it, unless they can go back and shut up all those that the sick had conversed with, even before they knew themselves to be sick, and none knows how far to carry that back, or where to stop, for none knows when or where or how they may have received the infection, or from whom. This I take to be the reason which makes so many people talk of the air being corrupted and infected, and that they need not be cautious of whom they converse with, for that the contagion was in the air. I have seen them in strange agitations and surprises on this account. "I have never come near any infected body," says the disturbed person. "I have conversed with none but sound, healthy people, and yet I have gotten the distemper." ... "I am sure I am struck from heaven," says another, and he falls to the serious part. Again, the first goes on exclaiming, "I have come near no infection or any infected person. I am sure it is the air. We draw in death when we breathe, and therefore it is the hand of God. There is no withstanding it." ... And this at last made many people, being hardened to the danger, grow less concerned at it, and less cautious towards the latter end of the time, and when it was come to its height, than they were at first. Then, with a kind of a Turkish predestinarianism, they would say, if it pleased God to strike them, it was all one, whether they went abroad or stayed at home. They could not escape it, and therefore they went boldly about, even into infected houses and infected company, visited sick people, and, in short, lay in the beds with their wives or relations when they were infected. And what was the consequence, but the same, that is the consequence in Turkey, and in those countries, where they do those things, namely, that they were infected too, and died by hundreds and thousands. I would be far from lessening the awe of the judgments of God, and the reverence to His providence which ought always to be on our minds on such occasions as these. Doubtless the visitation itself is a stroke from heaven upon a city, or country, or nation where it falls, a messenger of His vengeance, and a loud call to that nation or country or city to humiliation and repentance, according to that of the prophet Jeremiah 7:8: "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, and to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." apostrophe now the prompt new impressions of the awe of God on the minds of men on such occasions, and not to lessen them, it is that I have left those minutes upon record. I say, therefore, I reflect upon no man for putting the reason of those things upon the immediate hand of God, and the appointment and direction of his providence. Nay, on the contrary, there were many wonderful deliverances of persons from infection, and deliverances of persons when infected, which intimate singular and remarkable providence in the particular instances to which they refer. And I esteem my own deliverance to be one next to miraculous, and do record it with thankfulness. But when I am speaking of the plague as a distemper arising from natural causes, we must consider it as it was really propagated by natural means, nor is it at all the less a judgment for its being under the conduct of human causes and effects. For, as the divine power has formed the whole scheme of nature, and maintains nature in its course, so the same power thinks fit, to let his own actings with men, whether of mercy or judgment, to go on in the ordinary course of natural causes, and he is pleased to act by those natural causes as the ordinary means, accepting, and reserving to himself nevertheless a power, to act in a supernatural way when he sees occasion. Now it is evident, that in the case of an infection there is no apparent extraordinary occasion for supernatural operation, but the ordinary course of things appears sufficiently armed, and made capable of all the effects, that heaven usually directs by a contagion. Among these causes and effects, this of the secret conveyance of infection, imperceptible and unavoidable, is more than sufficient to execute the fierceness of divine vengeance, without putting it upon supernaturals and miracle. The acute penetrating nature of the disease itself was such, and the infection was received so imperceptibly, that the most exact caution could not secure us, while in the place. But I must be allowed to believe, and I have, so many examples fresh in my memory, to convince me of it, that I think none can resist their evidence. I say, I must be allowed to believe that no one in this whole nation ever received the sickness or infection, but who received it in the ordinary way of infection from somebody, or the clothes or touch or stench of somebody that was infected before. The manner of its coming first to London proves this also, viz. By goods brought over from Holland, and brought thither from the Levant, the first breaking of it out in a house in Long Acre, where those goods were carried and first opened, its spreading from that house to other houses by the visible unwary conversing with those who were sick, and the infecting the parish officers who were employed about the persons dead, and the like. These are known authorities for this great foundation point, that it went on and proceeded from person to person, and from house to house, and no otherwise. In the first house that was infected there died four persons. A neighbor, hearing the mistress of the first house was sick, went to visit her, and went home, and gave the distemper to her family, and died, and all her household. A minister, called to pray with the first sick person in the second house, was said to sicken immediately, and die with several more in his house. Then the physicians began to consider, for they did not at first dream of a general contagion. But the physicians being sent to inspect the bodies, they assured the people, that it was neither more or less than the plague, with all its terrifying particulars, and that it threatened an universal infection. So many people having already conversed with the sick or distempered, and having, as might be supposed, received infection from them, that it would be impossible to put a stop to it. Here the opinion of the physicians agreed with my observation afterwards, namely, that the danger was spreading insensibly, for the sick could infect none, but those that came within reach of the sick person. But that one man who may have really received the infection, and knows it not, but goes abroad, and about as a sound person, may give the plague to 1,000 people, and they to greater numbers in proportion, and neither the person giving the infection, or the persons receiving it know anything of it, and perhaps not feel the effects of it for several days after. For example, many persons in the time of this visitation never perceived that they were infected till they found, to their unspeakable surprise, the tokens come out upon them, after which they seldom lived 6 hours. For those spots they called the tokens were really gangrene spots, or mortified flesh in small knobs as broad as a little silver penny, and hard as a piece of callus or horn, so that, when the disease was come up to that length, there was nothing could follow but certain death. And yet, as I said, they knew nothing of their being infected, nor found themselves so much as out of order, till those mortal marks were upon them. But everybody must allow that they were infected in a high degree before, and must have been so some time, and consequently their breath, their sweat, their very clothes, were contagious for many days before. This occasioned a vast variety of cases which physicians would have much more opportunity to remember than I, but some came within the compass of my observation or hearing, of which I shall name a few. A certain citizen who had lived safe and untouched till the month of September, when the weight of the distemper lay more in the city than it had done before, was mighty cheerful, and something too bold, as I think it was, in his talk of how secure he was, how cautious he had been, and how he had never come near any sick body. Says another citizen, a neighbor of his, to him one day, "Do not be too confident, mister. It is hard to say who is sick and who is well, for we see men alive and well to outward appearance 1 hour, and dead the next." Apostrophe "that is true," says the first man, for he was not a man presumptuously secure, but had escaped a long while, and men, as I said above, especially in the city, began to be over easy upon that score. "That is true," apostrophe says he. "I do not think myself secure, but I hope I have not been in company with any person that there has been any danger in." Apostrophe "no?" Apostrophe says his neighbor. "Was not you at the Bullhead Tavern in Gracechurch Street with Mr. the night before last?" Apostrophe "yes," apostrophe says the first, "I was, but there was nobody there that we had any reason to think dangerous." Apostrophe upon which his neighbor said no more, being unwilling to surprise him, but this made him more inquisitive, and as his neighbor appeared backward, he was the more impatient, and in a kind of warmth says he aloud, "Why, he is not dead, is he?" Apostrophe upon which his neighbor still was silent, but cast up his eyes and said something to himself, at which the first citizen turned pale, and said no more but this, "Then I am a dead man too," and went home immediately, and sent for a neighboring apothecary to give him something preventive, for he had not yet found himself ill. But the apothecary, opening his breast, fetched a sigh, and said no more but this, "Look up to God," and the man died in a few hours. Now let any man judge from a case like this, if it is possible for the regulations of magistrates, either by shutting up the sick or removing them, to stop an infection which spreads itself from man to man, even while they are perfectly well, and insensible of its approach, and may be so for many days. It may be proper to ask here, how long it may be supposed men might have the seeds of the contagion in them before it discovered itself in this fatal manner, and how long they might go about seemingly whole, and yet be contagious to all those that came near them. I believe the most experienced physicians cannot answer this question directly any more than I can, and something an ordinary observer may take notice of, which may pass their observations. The opinion of physicians abroad seems to be that it may lie dormant in the spirits, or in the blood vessels, a very considerable time. Why else do they exact a quarantine of those who came into their harbors and ports from suspected places? 40 days is, one would think, too long for nature to struggle with such an enemy as this, and not conquer it or yield to it. But I could not think, by my own observation, that they can be infected so as to be contagious to others above 15 or 16 days at furthest. And on that score it was, that when a house was shut up in the city, and any one had died of the plague, But nobody appeared to be ill in the family for 16 or 18 days after. They were not so strict, but that they would connive at their going privately abroad. Nor would people be much afraid of them afterward, but rather think they were fortified the better, having not been vulnerable when the enemy was in their own house. But we sometimes found it had lain much longer concealed. Upon the foot of all these observations, I must say that, though Providence seemed to direct my conduct to be otherwise, yet it is my opinion, and I must leave it as a prescription, viz., that the best physic against the plague is to run away from it. I know people encourage themselves by saying God is able to keep us in the midst of danger, and able to overtake us when we think ourselves out of danger. And this kept thousands in the town whose carcasses went into the great pits by cartloads, and who, if they had fled from the danger, had, I believe, been safe from the disaster. At least 'tis probable they had been safe. And were this very fundamental only duly considered by the people on any future occasion of this or the like nature, I am persuaded it would put them upon quite different measures for managing the people from those that they took in 1665, or than any that have been taken abroad, that I have heard of. In a word, they would consider of separating the people into smaller bodies, and removing them in time farther from one another, and not let such a contagion as this, which is indeed chiefly dangerous to collected bodies of people, find a million of people in a body together, as was very near the case before, and would certainly be the case, if it should ever appear again. The plague, like a great fire, if a few houses only are contiguous where it happens, can only burn a few houses, or if it begins in a single, or, as we call it, a lone house, can only burn that lone house where it begins. But if it begins in a close-built town or city, and gets ahead, there its fury increases. It rages over the whole place, and consumes all it can reach. I could propose many schemes on the foot, of which the government of this city, if ever they should be under the apprehensions of such another enemy, God forbid they should, might ease themselves of the greatest part of the dangerous people that belong to them. I mean such as the begging, starving, laboring poor, and among them chiefly those who, in case of a siege, are called the useless mouths. Who being then prudently, and to their own advantage disposed of, and the wealthy inhabitants disposing of themselves, and of their servants and children, the city and its adjacent parts would be so effectually evacuated, that there would not be above a tenth part of its people left together for the disease to take hold upon. But suppose them to be a fifth part, and that 250,000 people were left. And if it did seize upon them, they would, by their living, so much at large, be much better prepared to defend themselves against the infection, and be less liable to the effects of it, than if the same number of people lived close together in one smaller city such as Dublin or Amsterdam or the like. It is true hundreds, yea, thousands of families fled away at this last plague. But then of them, many fled too late, and not only died in their flight, but carried the distemper with them into the countries, where they went and infected those whom they went among for safety, which confounded the thing, and made that be a propagation of the distemper which was the best means to prevent it. And this too is an evidence of it, and brings me back to what I only hinted at before, but must speak more fully to here, namely, that men went about apparently well many days, after they had the taint of the disease in their vitals, and after their spirits were so seized as that they could never escape it, and that all the while they did, so they were dangerous to others. I say, this proves that so it was. For such people infected the very towns they went through, as well as the families they went among, and it was by that means that almost all the great towns in England had the distemper among them, more or less, and always they would tell you such a Londoner, or such a Londoner brought it down. It must not be omitted that when I speak of those people who were really thus dangerous, I suppose them to be utterly ignorant of their own conditions. For if they really knew their circumstances, To be such as indeed they were, they must have been a kind of willful murtherers, if they would have gone abroad among healthy people, and it would have verified indeed the suggestion which I mentioned above, and which I thought seemed untrue, viz. That the infected people were utterly careless as to giving the infection to others, and rather forward to do it than not, and I believe it was partly from this very thing that they raised that suggestion, which I hope was not really true in fact. I confess no particular case is sufficient to prove a general, but I could name several people within the knowledge of some of their neighbors and families, yet living, who showed the contrary to an extreme. One man, a master of a family in my neighborhood, having had the distemper, he thought he had it given him by a poor workman whom he employed, and whom he went to his house to see, or went for some work that he wanted to have finished, and he had some apprehensions, even while he was at the poor workman's door, but did not discover it fully, but the next day it discovered itself, and he was taken therein, upon which he immediately caused himself to be carried into an outbuilding which he had in his yard, and where there was a chamber over a workhouse, the man being a brazier. Here he. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.